comment before we hear our presentations. Hearing none, our first presentation is from the traditional grant from the town of Pal, town of, sorry, lady, town of Colbrook. The Plateau Valley Broadband. We'll get that confused. Are you ladies ready?
We are.
All right, we'll let you have the floor, and I can move if you don't
mind. Do you want to? We'll just bring this back here.
Okay, sure. Okay.
And then you guys will sit.
Then we can start. So I'm Melanie Monterosso, the town manager for the town of Colbrook. This is Carla Distel. She's our finance manager for the town of Colbrook. So we are coming today to ask for assistance. We have a project trying to get fiber to the entire Plateau Valley is what we're after. So they have constructed it in temporary, so we're in the middle of our feasibility plan and our engineering study. So at this time, they're looking at coming over V Road. Uh-huh. So, and then they will come into Colbrook. We will have several different connecting points, and they will go off of there. The internet service providers would be, it will be an open access system, so internet service providers would be able to be on that. We come because the Plateau Valley doesn't have great internet access, period. There is no broadband, obviously, but it sets us behind in our medical field, emergency situations, the school, our students when they went home during the pandemic, that was not great for our students. It was not great for the town. Medically speaking, at the clinic, they're having issues being able to provide service to their customers, to their patients. So that's what we're coming here for. I think that we have an opportunity for economic development with this. I think more and more today, society's changed because of the pandemic. And you've got more businesses trying to relocate to do stuff from outside of the big cities. So to be able to compete with that, we would like to put in broadband and bring it over. I guess with what I would say to that is, with the downturn in oil and gas, so we are very much, Colbrook and Plateau Valley is very much reliant on that. We are a boom and bust with the business. So I think this gives us another economic opportunity to be for our entire valley. So I'll turn it over to Carla and she can talk finances.
Sure. And so as Melanie mentioned, we are currently in the process of doing the engineering and design work. We were able to go to the Department of Local Affairs and we got one of their planning and assistance grants. We had great matching from our partners, the Job Corps, the school district, the hospital district, and Mesa County, as well as somebody that the town has contributed. So that was about $186,000 to do that feasibility study. We should have that at the end of, maybe possibly the end of this month, but definitely by, the middle of October. And then, just the back of the napkin estimates are that this could be anywhere from $2 to $5 million. So we have at this point a commitment, and we're very grateful for it. It's our first seed money of $1 million from Mesa County. They've committed $1 million of their American Rescue Plan funds to assist with our project. The town has also committed our American Rescue Plan funds in the amount of $175,000. And so we are now just looking for matching opportunities and to really be able to start leveraging dollars. We have some of the partnerships from the Job Corps and different agencies. We will be looking, as I think you're all aware, there is a lot of money in the infrastructure bills and the rescue fund for in, for broadband specifically, because of you know, being able to diversify and be more resilient. So we're going to be looking at those opportunities. There's an EDA grant that we'll probably apply for, and we'll definitely be in front of DOLA. Right now, they don't have any broadband funding, but they expect to reseed that pot right after January. So we will have an application in. And so that would really, you know, we think we can leverage the funds, and that's why we're asking for your commitment of $300,000 as part of our seed money for this project.
And Melanie, didn't you tell me at one time that you had some entrepreneurs, businesses wanting to move up there because they could operate remotely, and it came down to the very end, and it was the lack of the broadband that they...
We have had several opportunities, and they just, they can't do it. They can't work from up there.
We've always been really cautious about getting involved in hypothetical projects for a variety of reasons. The most significant of which is we can actually, you know, approve a grant request for a project that never happened. Meanwhile, the number two grant request that scores the second highest goes unfunded. And if, when you step back from that, you say, there's no part of that that was fair. No part of that, that was fair. So I'd like for you to speak to that. And I also, you know, there have been broadband, you know, federal government broadband programs for the last dozen years that are, you know, they're throwing money at projects everywhere. Are you sure you've got to have this $300,000 to make this project work?
Yes, we believe so. Because we believe, again, it's money that we can leverage as we go to DOLA, as we go to the EDA, as we go to USDA. It shows a higher level of commitment. So we do believe that. We also, I mean, we have a reasonable expectation that we will start construction, you know, perhaps as early as next fall. So we're not talking a hypothetical 5-7 years out. It will happen. I think the difference between now and then is we have a really strong stakeholder group that we have never been able to pull together before. It started actually, you know, as a result, the school district had reached out to Representative Soper, and he actually came up and he kind of brought the group together. And we said, okay, the town of Culver will be the coordinating committee for the group. There was just a huge recognition that we couldn't leave our kids, we couldn't leave our businesses without access to, you know, broadband level services. It wasn't fair. I mean, I know Melanie's daughter, she had completed an assignment and pushed the button and it disappeared in the vapor and she failed that class. I mean, so, you know, it was that impactful to us because her you know, our program was Front Range and they have great internet and they didn't accept the excuse of, you know, so yes, we need this funding. I think this is an extraordinary time. You know, we can't wait till next fall, which is when I understand your next cycle will be. We need this funding, we need it now so that we can show the dollars for those matching applications and so that we can start construction next year, so.
What would you do if you don't get the dollars?
I think then that would be really making some hard choices and perhaps looking at scaling the project over a number of years and into a number of phases. And we have asked for information on that, but that doesn't really float the entire boat. That means that somebody will have better service than somebody else. And we don't want to see that happen. But we can do that, and that, I mean, we're going, it will happen. We are determined to make it happen. But we don't want to leave Mesa and Powderhorn behind because we've got the commitments, you know, in Colbran. We don't want to leave them behind. So we don't want to do that. We want to serve the entire Plateau Valley.
And that's who our partners are. They are the entire Plateau Valley, not just in Colbran. So our goal is to not break that down into phases. We need to help the entire community, which is Plateau Valley.
Maybe it's your map, so Mesa would be the bottom end of the service, correct? Or would you go clear down Plateau Canyon? And then, am I right in seeing the upper end of that is Vega?
Yes.
Okay, so Vega, on down to Mesa.
And Vega at this point, just because of the distance, probably is a wireless tower
sure.
at Colburn that shoots up to Vega.
Right.
But we are hoping to be able to do a fiber backbone clear to Mesa.
And then all those homes between on the cutoff would be covered? Some of the households on the cutoff would be serviced, the Debec cutoff from?
Well, this is coming over the road, Sunnyside.
Yeah.
That's this preliminary discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry, okay, yeah.
So, but that is another route that is being evaluated, is coming down the cutoff and then coming in this way. We're trying to avoid 330 as much as we can because it will, and 65 because of the CDOT permitting. And then 330 is super complicated because CDOT doesn't have the actual right of way. So that's where, again, I think Mesa County has offered to help us, and that's why we think V Road is a good option, but our consultant is evaluating that. We've also recently had Grand Valley Power come into the partnership. Initially, they weren't, you know, that interested in it, but they have indicated at this point that they want to be a part of the project. So that may be some opportunities to do some of this fiber on the poles, hanging off the poles.
Similar to what the MEA did.
Yeah. That's our model that we're hoping to replicate, is what they've been able to do in the Delta Montrose area.
I will add that Mesa County is very committed to this project, making sure that it gets through. We're looking at gigabit speeds throughout the valley, throughout the county. And we referred a ballot question for this fall to opt out of Senate Bill 152, and that was a Senate bill from 8 or 10 years ago that didn't allow local governments to get involved in broadband service unless the voters opted out. And throughout the Western Slope, everyone has opted out except Mesa County, so we expect that it will happen. That will allow us to help for some of the funding that could come through us to Colburn and other parts of the valley we're looking at as well. So we're very committed to the project. We believe it needs to be done. We wouldn't have committed $1 million if we didn't think it was a reality that was going to happen. We think there could be some other sources of funding through COVID relief dollars. One of the approved expenditures of the funds we got is broadband, but there also should be more dollars coming down specific just to broadband that they could apply for grants for as well. And so whenever you see community commitment to it, it does help leverage those dollars. And Job Corps is another partner that's very invested in this, doing a lot of work for us. And
fresh and grants that you can obtain through Job Corps.
And state parks also, because one of the state parks goal this year was to get, they want broadband brought to all of the state parks. So they're on board and have been in every conversation with us also.
And there are special pots of grant funding to fund telemedicine and community clinics. And the hospital district has a clinic in Colburn and they have a clinic in Mesa. So that is another cycle that's due in, I think, January. And we would, we intend to apply to work with the hospital district to apply for funding and see if they will help connect those two clinics. So, and then that would, Mesa would be connecting through the Colburn Clinic. So there's just so many really strategic opportunities. And I mean, it could eventually cross over, and be redundant service over 65, into Cedar Edge, and possibly even across into, over the Mesa to, Marble and,
you guys have obviously have engineers identified and contractors identified, or have been that far along yet, or?
No, we are just at the engineering stage. Then we'll have to put the construction funding package together, and then we will go out for construction.
Do you have any concerns about the availability of contractors for this kind of project?
I think that's a reasonable concern, and I think that's why
we're incentivized to do it quickly before all these other projects come online and start taking the bandwidth, construction bandwidth. And we have partnered, and we are working with Region 10 Economic Development District of Montrose and AGNC, because what DOLA has, the models they have statewide, they're using those economic development agencies as a key player. So we are working with them, and especially Region 10 has just an incredible experience. They've been part of the DMEA network. You know, they're kind of the ones that kicked off that region. So they're helping us. They have a position funded through DOLA, a broadband coordinator that serves the southern half of the state. And so they're providing technical expertise. It's not us doing the technical stuff. It's our partnership through DOLA and then that regional broadband coordinator that's helping us walk through and evaluate the proposals. And you know, he's going to do this first map for us. So.
I have one concern with it. It provides Wi-Fi in my hunting camp, and that doesn't.
You say that's a bad thing?
I really don't want that. Yeah.
Then people can find you.
That is a bad thing. I don't want to be found.
Exactly.
Okay. You guys have any other questions?
No, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming down here.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Okay.
Here, this is for you.
Oh,
is
that cool?
Hey, I get a clicker.
You get a clicker.
That's awesome.
It should work.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, ladies.
I didn't want to know.
Next, we will now begin the mini grants. And mini grants, we have East Orchard Mesa Fire Protection District. I'm sorry, what's your name?
My name is Dave Van Linden. And I'm the assistant chief of the department. Poor souls. This is so great to actually be here in person and see people face to face. It's amazing. So, over the past few years, we've had a really, really large uptick in our call volume. This is our 10-year, and I don't know if you all can read the numbers very well on that screen of knots. I'm pulling it up on my tablet here. But since 2016, we've been growing and growing and growing in our call volume. And this one right here is our the past 5 years, from 2016 till now. And what we've been growing in a lot of, and oh man, is there a cool laser burner on the screen?
Yeah, there is.
Oh.
I think if you, the top, one of the two top buttons, should be one up there. Okay.
Third column over and down has been our growing numbers as far as our brush calls have gone. This year alone, it has accounted for about 37.5% of our call volume year to date. And the other 38% of that has been medical, and the last 11 calls that we've had for the year have been anything from car accidents, structure fires, or just simple helping out the public. Those are still calls to service for us. As of November 4th last year, we were at, I wrote all of that down, 47 calls, and we're already at 56 this year. So we are continually to grow. Our problem that we're having, and with the continuous need through our mutual aid contract that we would have with the county to go out for brush calls throughout the county, all the way out to Plateau Valley and to Beck, actually, and as far over as Lower Valley, down to Whitewater, so on and so forth, is this unit right here. This is the current unit that we use as a brush truck. Our issues that we have with it is that it has not been built as one. The ground clearance is really short. This is actually an all hazards unit. It's essentially a mini structural fire truck. The bottom right hand picture right there is a high pressure elbow that runs the transmission thread through a PTO system. And right there on the left hand side of that picture is our drive shaft. We've taken it to a custom fitter, you know, twice now in the past 2 years, and paid to have our dry shaft essentially made smaller so we can have enough clearance. We've done spacers, we've done as much as we can, and we still managed to hit that darn elbow going off-road, which of course is where a lot of our fires are. Our goal is to be able to purchase a unit, not get rid of this one because it is still useful throughout the county, is to be able to purchase a unit that will actually be appropriate. This particular truck is built for brush fires, as is this one. Both these trucks have a standalone pump in the back versus actually being powered off a PTO system where we have to stop, get out, get hose, and spray fire, pack everything up, move on to the next one. This whole system, standalone, you don't have to worry about hitting a dip or the truck flexing just right and us losing transmission fluid, which unfortunately happened this year in March on the 39 Road Fire. Two of my firefighters got stuck between two flame fronts that came up on both sides of the rig and they had to bail out of the rig. One of them, lovely guy, I'm not sure why he did it, but he ran back to the truck to get his wildland pack and said, oh, I can take this out of park and should be able to roll down the hill even though I don't have transmission capability. I told him, as much as I appreciate his dedication, we have insurance for these situations, and it's okay. So we still have the unit. But our hopes is to be able to move somewhere. These are two of the trucks that we're currently looking at. This one is in Utah, and this one is at essentially a fire truck dealership out in Alabama. We're also looking at units in Oregon, Texas, New Mexico, and Arizona. They all fall within $50,000. A couple of them are a little bit higher than that, but we do have a contingency fund for that should we have to pay more to purchase a unit, as well as getting crews out to get the unit back, helping reduce our overall cost. And that's pretty much what we have on that one.
For that price tag, what type of hours and mileage?
This particular one has 24,000, if I remember right, and this one has about somewhere from the 50,000-60,000 mileage on
there. So they still have quite a bit of life.
They still have quite a bit of life. We anticipate with the use that we currently have with our current unit and anything that the state may call on, because they do have a protocol in the state that's called the Broken Arrow Protocol, where they can call departments, and if approved by myself or the chief, we can send a unit out for 3 days. So even if we were just past Mesa County or Meeker, that's something we'll probably send the other unit for when we're trying to keep this one in the county. But with our use, we project at least a 10-year time of holding on to this unit. And we've dumped, I think, about $5,000 to $7,000 in that current unit this year just to try and keep it appropriate and set and ready to go. And that went way beyond my budget for repair expenses. My structural engine's in the shop right now, and I've got $5,000 I'm putting into it. That includes the $3,000 from the tires. That's normal wear and tear, though. That was already factored in for the year. But the transmission that we have to fix,
was that true?
A little bit pricier, and that's an old junction fire unit that we managed to get through online auction when they were getting rid of some of their old white units, and that really helped us upgrade in that situation. So these are our hopes.
How much life do you have on that left on the one? If you look at the lighter duty, how much life do you have left?
This one here are our structure.
Your old one, yeah.
This one here, this actually has 28,000 miles. Prior to me coming on the department in 2015, I believe they got this in about 2010. 2011 area from a department in Montana that essentially they sold it because they couldn't take it out on brush fires. And the assistant chief at the time saw this and saw it as a great opportunity for brush fires. And unfortunately, it's just not built for that, but it does still hold value in putting out car fires, even side of the road brush fires. These really off the beaten path stuff, like on 39 Road, we went all the way up to the BLM start right there where, that big trail goes all the way out to Land's End, or to Whitewater with, and I just can't remember the name of the trail. And even right now with our structure engine down, this held the same amount of water. It's 500 gallons, our structure engine is 500 gallons. Those two trucks, one of them's 400 and the other one's about 350 in its hold. And it does. It still has great capability. We don't want to lose still something that we can use in the county. Mm-hmm. It's a great backup for us. That wonderful tender that we were able to purchase, for last year, that thing has already been out and about so much. We took it all the way out to Fruta, I think once or twice this year. And in fact, its first call of service was all the way out to So we are all over the place, and we seem to be a hot commodity lately. You can see it in our numbers. We just keep going up and up and up. And this year, we were one call less than we projected. We thought 70 last year with COVID. We ended at 69. And we project at least probably a cap of about 85 this year. So we figured in about 2 years, if we continue this growth, we should be hitting 100 or more. And that's a lot for our little 8 square mile that we protect for just our area, not including the county.
How many volunteers?
Unfortunately, just lost 3, so we're at 17 right now. With our new restructure that we're hoping to start next year, as long as it's approved by our board, we were hoping to go up to about 25 volunteers. Unfortunately, during the summer, because of the farming, I lose about 8 to 9 of them, rightfully so. It's their livelihood, and we're having to stretch out a little bit further into the county, so we're hoping with our restructure that we'll have people that will be able to station and can train in these higher levels of certification that we would love to have most of our people have.
We will review these processes. We'll turn in our scores.
I'll send you guys a calendar appointment to let you know. I'll be coming by to pick them up. It won't be until October, so you guys will have time to review it. I'll probably pick them up on October 15th.
Okay.
So you guys still have a couple weeks to go through and review and score. And I'll send them.
I thought we were supposed to do it today, so I didn't do it.
Oh, you did?
So
oh, you're an overachiever. Nope.
I was afraid I was late. I was like an hour
ago.
Yeah. Making everybody look bad.
Yeah. So, and just a reminder that there's $350,000 available for the grant cycle. That's up to the discretion of the board to grant some, all, or none of it. So.
All right.
Is that it?
Do we have any business to add to the team?
Thank you.
Your motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Your motion second. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All right, thank you very much.
Meeting adjourned at 2:40.